We're going to be in verses 7 through 10, and the focal verse for us this morning is verse 9. Now, this is Paul, and Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. He's getting close to the end of his second letter. We know that we have two letters that he's written. But in the end of this, he now begins to kind of give us a testimony. Paul's been attacked. He's been persecuted. He has gone through all kinds of anguish and turmoil and tribulation. And it's almost in this passage that Paul kind of lets down the guard and allows us to get a glimpse of his personal struggles. And one of which, and many of us know this, is the reference to the thorn in his side. We're going to read about that this morning. And in truth, we really don't know what that is. We do believe that it was some type of physical ailment. I read a scholar this week that has gone down the path of thinking that Paul had an eyesight issue. I don't know if that's true. But whatever it was a thorn that Paul sort of labeled as something that caused the potential for disruption in his service for the kingdom. And it's in this passage that we see in a testimony format that Paul has confessed this, he's prayed about this. He even goes to the detail of saying that he's prayed about it three times. And God has not removed whatever this thing is, but in spite of it, and the weakness that he sees it as, God has chosen to bless Paul. And in the end of this passage, Paul identifies that. Now, what does that mean for you and I? Well, living in our world today, there's not a single one of us sitting here that doesn't struggle with some type of weakness. I mean, good news is, we're not going to all stand and claim whatever that weakness is, but we all struggle with that. And we often see that as a disruption in our ability to live at peace or to be able to do the things that we feel that God has led us to do. And that weakness, whatever it may be, can become in its own way a thorn in our side. It now becomes a weight that we carry around and struggle with. And what we learn from Paul today is God's power is seen through those weaknesses. And we have to, as believers, not just declare that, but believe that with all of our hearts. Now, you also may be sitting there and thinking, well, I don't know of any serious weakness in my life. Just hold on. You'll start seeing them soon. And you probably have had them in the past, and maybe you've been able to overcome those through the power of God. But just hang on, because life is full of these things. And while we may not be facing one today, we'll certainly be facing one soon, I'm sure. So today, let's pray that God blesses us, gives us a heart to see this through the lens of our own lives and what it is God wants us to walk away with and be able to see Him at work in our life. Let's pray and then we'll read His Word together. Father, thank you this morning for the blessing again of your Word and just all of what we learned today about Paul and his personal struggles. I mean, we see Paul kind of as a mighty warrior that walks his way through all of these mission trips and the evangelistic encounters that he has, and we often don't think of his personal struggles often. And so I pray this morning that what resonates with each and every one of us is that in our own weaknesses, we too can find victory. We too can be able to see and understand the power of God to be seen through those weaknesses. Paul uses a term here essentially about grace. And God, we know what grace means. It's that you don't give us what we deserve. But in this aspect, we also see another angle of grace this morning, is that it's also the promise of your presence and your work and your sustaining power in the life of the believer. Again, things we don't deserve. But you choose to lay those on our lives. And so, Father, I think this morning, this passage first, should be an encouragement for every one of us as believers. Because we have a mighty God who sits on His throne, and there's not a weakness or a problem or a struggle or anything that we may face in our life that is bigger than You. I think also the second thing here is really a call to repentance in some ways. Because many of us who are believers are not living the life with victory. We're living in a state of being in defeat or almost in a sense of giving up because of whatever it is we're facing is bigger than we can imagine. So God, we've lacked the faith to declare Your power in those situations. So God, I pray in that, wake us up, open our hearts, and allow us to see in this the power of God on display in Paul's life. And that same power can be on display in our lives. God, bless the reading of your word as always. Open our hearts and our minds to you. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to start reading in verse 7. As we've said, chapter 12, 2 Corinthians. And Paul kind of begins this way, and he starts, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations. He's talking about what God has revealed to him, how God has shared his message through him and the victory in that. He goes on to say this, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. Now, Paul makes no buts about this. He declares what he thinks of it in the next statement. A messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Two things going on there. He's claiming that this was something that was given to him based on the sense of Satan's presence in our world. And sometimes bad things happen in our lives and we face weakness because we live in a fallen and broken world. It's not God's fault, but it's our fault that we've allowed sin into this world, and we pay the price of that every single day. Even as believers, we still understand that we live in a fallen and broken world. But he also now beginning to see a perspective. We talk about this a lot. Life is full of missing perspective or wrong perspectives on things. We've talked about this recently in seeing circumstances and situations in our world. We often can follow the world and one perspective will dominate it that we now begin to see with really hopelessness and an idea that there's no help for us, that we're living in a world that's in chaos and there's not a single thing that we can do. And we almost get depressed by that. But we also understand that through our salvation and the mighty God we worship, we are given the opportunity to change perspective. And that's what Paul is seeing here. Rather than seeing this as a source of torment, he now is beginning to see it as a means, listen to this, to keep him humble, to keep him focused on the right things. Now, I can't go into this and tell you that Paul had the inclination for arrogance and his ego would have led him to celebrate his own power and what God was doing through him. We don't know Paul that well. But we know some of us fall into that boat. And sometimes the circumstances that we face can be seen in perspective as gentle reminders that we're not all that great without God. Amen. And that we need his mighty power. And the victories that we celebrate are his, not ours. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing happen here. He goes on, verse 8, concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. He's being very specific there. He's saying, God, I've tried to confess this. I've tried to lay this on your throne, and yet it has not left me, which has allowed him now really to have no other choice. He lets it destroy him in his ministry, or he allows it now to be seen in that new perspective that we just talked about. He goes on, verse 9, and he has said to me, this is Jesus apparently giving him a revelation in this, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. There's the title of our message this morning. We're going to come back to that, and we're going to look at three things that our weaknesses teach us about God's power. We'll do that in a moment. He goes on, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Then verse 10, therefore, I am content with weaknesses, with insults and distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. If you want to underline one of the statements today, that's it. That's the post-it note that goes on your bathroom mirror to remind yourselves that when you feel vulnerable, when you feel beaten, when you feel in that greatest moment of weakness, you actually are strongest, amen, because of God's presence and power in your life. And that's the walkaway point this morning. And that's the one that we hold on to. As I've said, we're going to come back and look at verse 9 and focus a little bit on three things that we learn about our weaknesses. And some of these you have heard before. You know these. Nothing here is new, but it's nice to just kind of put it in three easy points for us to write down and hold on to. And it may be, as I've said, you're not facing any kind of weakness that you know of in your life today. Well, then just write these down and put it in your pocket, your purse, your bag, or whatever, because assuredly as I stand here, somewhere along the way, you're going to face it. Or maybe you'll run into somebody this week that's telling you they're facing struggling weakness, and you can share this with them. Or maybe you're in the midst of struggling right now with your weaknesses, and this now becomes something that God can use to guide you through that. The first one you'll see on the screen is this. This is kind of the ground one, okay? The groundwork, the basis, the foundation. And it says this, God's grace is always sufficient. Listen, we get that directly from Jesus' quote at the backside of verse 9 when he says, and he's giving this as an emphatic declaration, my grace is sufficient. So when we talk about grace, we often go to what we often define it as is, it's us not getting what we deserve, right? Condemnation and being sent to hell because of being a sinner. But God's grace has seen fit to forgive us of our sin through the work of Christ on the cross. And so now we experience the grace of repentance. We're no longer guilty of that sin, right? But there's a whole nother sort of construct, I think, of grace that sometimes we miss. Grace also is that part of God that promises his sufficiency. So I know that's a word we don't often use. Think of it this way. It's God building us up. It's the power of God to hold us when we're unable to stand on our own, which, by the way, pretty much should be all the time, right? Because when we begin to wing it on our own and do it under our own power, we now begin to get the arrogance that maybe we don't need God. And so things like Paul's thorn in his side or whatever the struggles you face now become really, in Paul's perspective, a reminder to us daily how much we need him. And so that now allows us to focus on his presence. As a believer, you have to anchor into this point. God is never absent from you. He's not decided to take the day off. He's not gotten on a spaceship and gone to another world. He is present with us at every moment, every second of our life. Even if you're not a believer, God's presence is around you. You just don't have the ability to recognize it. And so as believers, we anchor to that point. And now that begins to give us the confidence in whatever struggles, weakness, trials, and tribulations that we face, because God's presence is a reminder of his power. And so that power now begins to be something that through his grace that he props us up with. I mean, there are great illustrations in Scripture where people's weaknesses now become God's strength, right? I go all the way back to Moses. And Moses and a speech impediment and his reluctance to follow God's will and call to lead the nation of Israel. And God now begins to use that weakness for his grace, his kingdom work. We look at Peter, and here's Peter living probably at this time still. And we know that Peter denied Christ. He was one of the leaders of the 11 remaining disciples. But he denies, he has a failure, but God uses that failure to now awaken him to the reality of the cost of following Christ, even after Jesus rises and ascends to the right hand of the Father. But we can go through scripture after scripture. Timothy I love, but Timothy was young, and he began to apologize for his youthfulness, but yet God used that youthfulness for his strength to now begin to lead the churches that Timothy had been called to pastor. God has always got a history of using weaknesses for his strengths. And I'm not saying this morning that whatever it is that you're facing is going to be the magic sauce that God uses to now change and make sort of a momentum change in your life. I don't know that. But God's certainly capable of taking whatever it is you're facing and turning it into a strength for his kingdom work. But again, as we learned a moment ago, it requires perspective change, right? It requires obedience. It requires anchoring in on that truth that we learn about grace this morning. Not sulking or feeling sorry for ourselves in our weaknesses, but declaring victory that in spite of those weaknesses, which by the way, a lot of times are our own fault, aren't they? Things that we've done to mess up, things that we've done in rebellion, but nevertheless, God still chooses to use those for His strength. And now we begin to see that. And now we begin to trust that. And now that grace aspect now begins to filter into our life. And instead of wallowing in the weakness that we face, we now are standing victoriously with the confidence of God's presence and power. I mean, it's a life-changing perspective, but it's one that Paul is letting us see in his own life. So God's grace is always sufficient, not just sometimes. Not just on occasion, not just with a few things. It is always going to be sufficient. It is enough. You don't need anything else. For me, that's a reminder. I need to get out of the way sometimes and let God be God in these situations and not try to fix them myself or not try to ignore them or push them to the back. Maybe God's wanting to use them and I need to let Him do that. Number two is this. Now we kind of get down to where the rubber meets the road. And this number two one awakens us in the idea of this. Look at the screen. Our weaknesses reveal our dependence. So what do we mean? Well, here we understand that Paul is telling us that he realized that the thorn in his side, again, we don't know what that is, whatever it is, forced him to now be, what did he say in the latter part? In what we see is that he now no longer boasts about his abilities to do certain things. What did he say in the last part of verse 9? To keep me from exalting myself. Man, that's a key statement. Our weakness reminds us of how dependent, I'm not just going to say how, let me say this, absolutely, utterly dependent on God to be able to do the things that He's having us do, both as individuals, as a church, as a body of believers, whatever it may be. We absolutely have to be dependent on God for those things. And so our weaknesses, and I know we're talking about weaknesses from the viewpoint of an individual, and I think that resonates for most of us, but we also need to think about it from our church perspective. We have weaknesses as a church. The same thing applies. God can use those things. And so we now begin to understand that those weaknesses now begin to remind us of how much we need to be dependent on Him, both as individuals as well as a church body, and being able to work through the different things that go on in the world around us that now begin to impact our church. And you may be thinking, well, what weaknesses do we have? Well, we have all kinds of weaknesses. Come walk with me. And I'm not knocking our church, but there are always what I would call interrupters. This week we had lightning strike the church again, second time in 6 months. Wiped out all of our IP equipment. And so we've been working hard. It's not that it's a big deal, but it's just a little nuisance the week of EBS when we've become, just like everybody else in the world, dependent on the internet to download slides and to get things moving where they need to be. Our phones work on internet. You know, you think in the beginning that's a great idea, but when it goes out, it becomes a problem. Now that is in no way a weakness in the sense that it would destroy our church, but it becomes a disruptor. You see what I'm saying? It becomes something that we could get frustrated with, and that issue now could pour in to a full-fledged weakness that destroys the work of God in our church for the week because we're wallowing in something. Now, I know that's a silly thing, but it's a point to be made that sometimes those disruptors are small. And so we learn to be dependent. We are always being reminded of God's presence and our need in that and in your church work or our body of believers, but also on our individual walks. Strength is really created when we begin to rely on the presence of God and allow Him to guide us and do the things that He wants to do and needs to do in our lives. Thirdly is this. Not only God's grace is always sufficient, we establish that fact. Our weakness reveals our dependence. No doubt about that. It's a constant reminder of that. If you don't think that you need God today, then just spend time evaluating where you are and the things that you're facing. And sure enough, before long, things will begin to show up to remind you you're not in control. It's not your power, it's God's power. Finally, number three this morning is this: our weakness is our testimony. That's exactly what Paul is doing here. Paul could have hid this from us. Now, I'm going to give you full scope here. Paul didn't go around talking about this all the time. In fact, this is one of the few occasions that we see him even referencing the kind of detail that he has. We know he had it. It didn't become a distraction for him, or at least not now it's not. Might have at some point, but he was able to overcome that. But it now becomes a sweet part of his testimony when you know this fact in 2 Corinthians and now look back at his ministry and the ministry that he'll yet to have that we've not seen if you're living during that day. But it's a reminder that God is using that as a testimony. It's being used as a testimony for us today, right? And whatever we're facing, the weaknesses, the struggles, is that we're reminded that if God could do that for Paul, he can do that for us as well. The same God can do those things. And so we learn that it becomes a testimony. And I think one of the things that we learn in places like Job and some other key parts of the Old Testament, and a few in the New Testament perhaps, is that we don't ask the question of why these things happen to me or why they keep happening to me. But the question really is, how is God going to use this? And this is essentially the question that Paul's asking. And he's answering it for us, is that it's not about why this happened anymore. It's about now how God's going to use this as part of my testimony. And that's what Paul is accomplishing through this passage and what he's sharing to the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church was in a struggle. They had all kinds of false teachings. It was a very worldly place. We've talked about it before. If you heard the word Corinthian in the first century, it might be the same way we would use the city of Las Vegas today, maybe, or New Orleans and Bourbon Street. It doesn't make you think good things. And that's Corinth. But yet in the midst of this was a body of believers called by God, saved by His grace, that was evangelizing that city. And so in the midst of all their hardships and struggles and weaknesses, God still uses them. And so it's a message that Paul is using that can be heard by us today. And I think it comes down to this, that we've got to now begin to kind of focus on changing that perspective. Focus on letting whatever those things that we face, weaknesses, I've lumped them all together with struggles and tribulations and trials, whatever it is, whatever those things, all those things can be weaknesses. But I've lumped all of those together, but whenever those things happen, now we begin to ask the question, God, what perspective can I have on this? What honors you in this? How do I see this? Because I can't control it. I can't make it go away. I can't change what's happened. So now I'm left with what's going on. Lord, how do you want to use this in me? And it may not be instantaneous that God shares His will with you, but over time, God now begins to change your heart and gives you the ability to see it in the right way. Perspective, just like Paul did. Whatever your weakness is, God knows about them, He's bigger than them, and He is willing to work through those, but it also is a way that He may be using to grow each and every one of us to be stronger in our walk to Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the blessing of this passage, and really, God, for, it's hard to pray. I'm thankful Paul went through this. I don't necessarily want to say that, but I'm thankful, Father, that you use this to now teach us a great reminder, a great lesson of your power, your grace, your sustaining work in our lives as believers. And so, God, again, I go back and just pray for each one of us as believers this morning as we come to the end of this and we look in our own lives and the struggles, the weaknesses, the things that may be interrupting our lives, that we can now begin to give those things over to you, but also work to be used by you to change the perspective in the way we see them. To be able, God, to see how you may use them and be glorified through them as you have in this one, particularly with Paul. Now, God, I turn also now and I want to talk about our lost folks that may be here or watching this on our live stream this morning. I pray, Father, for them. I'm sure they see their weaknesses. That goes really without a lot of explanation because they're human. We all see that. And my prayer is that in the midst of whatever they're struggling with, the weakness, the things that, gosh, without you in their life must seem astronomically large. And there's oftentimes a hopelessness that comes because they have no course of help in these things. And they probably have tried all kinds of worldly solutions and they all come up short. My prayer for them specifically this morning is that you reveal to them through this passage that you're really the only true sustaining power. You're the only true bringer of a solution. You're the only one who can provide grace to not just save them from their sin and to put them in the right path with you, but you're also the only one that can bring that grace that gives us sustainment, that allows us to be reminded of your presence. So God, I pray this morning through the work of your Holy Spirit. We're not trying to imitate your work in their life. It's not our decision. We're not trying to strong arm anybody to come down and make a decision this morning, but we want your Spirit to work in their life. And if today is the day that you're calling them to come get this settled, then we're going to have a time of commitment here in just a moment. And it'd be perfect for them to be able to come down, and then we're going to connect them with somebody that can help them walk through what this means and what they need to think about praying about and giving their lives to Christ. That's what we're here for. That's ultimately why we do what we do, is to see people come to know Jesus. Now, God, I pray for the rest of us, though. If we're here, we're believers, that's not the question. But yet we're being defeated every moment, it seems, of every day by our own weaknesses or the struggles in the world around us that make us feel weak. Help us to find, God, that sustaining power that is seen in your grace this morning for every single one of us. God, whatever decisions need to be made this morning, we give them to you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?